Okay, I think there are still some people joining. But maybe we can get started since it's already two. Okay, so welcome everyone. Thank you for coming here to this info session for all of you exchange students that are going to start their exchange next spring. Sorry, I have it. Okay, so as I said, welcome everyone. I would kindly ask you to keep your camera off and your microphone muted when you're not asking a question. And this is mostly because there's so many of us that the connection is what it is and it might lag. And also to be respectful of each other. So we can start, I think, with a short round of presentations because I see that Tina has also joined us now. I can start and then we can continue. So I'm Elisa Fratesi from the International Office here at the University of Jyväskylä. And as many of you may know, I work with incoming exchange students, specifically with Erasmus incoming students, and I'm also responsible for accommodation-related matters, tutoring, and other arrival services such as student housing and such. And I also manage the exchange at JYU email, so if you have emailed that address, I have probably answered you. Then I think we can continue with, well, I have Laura first.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Laura Laamanen, and I also work as international coordinator at the International Office, and I coordinate the ICEP exchanges as well as Nordlys exchanges. And perhaps we'll continue to Tina next.
Sure, thank you. So I'm Tina. I'm the coordinator for incoming bilateral students and also the coordinator for incoming Erasmus Global Mobility students and the TFK program. Yeah, Marita,
Yes.
go ahead. Yes.
Yes, hello. I'm just spamming the admit all button here. But yes, hello, I'm Marita. I'm an intern here at the International Office, and my name might probably be quite familiar to some of you. I'm responsible for the International Office email and some, well, plenty of other things and help around the office. It's so nice to see so many of you here.
Thank you, Marita, and thank you, everyone. Okay, so this is today's program, and before we start, I would like to confirm that Marita is recording this session.
I am indeed.
Perfect, great, thank you. So, as I mentioned, this session will be recorded, and we will share the recording with you via email. We will send you a link together with the slides. So the topics that we will cover today are first of arrival-related matters, so arrival dates and important dates such as the orientation dates, tutoring, and the orientation week. Then I will briefly mention accommodation-related matters, as well as then identification and JYU user account related matters. Some of you have emailed us some questions, so hopefully we will answer them with this section. And then I'll just have a slide about student union membership fees and the student card and how to get it. Finally, we'll talk about residence permits and registering the right to reside in Finland and conclude with the Finnish personal identification code. Some of you had also emailed us some other miscellaneous questions, and we have a couple of slides with the answers to those questions and some useful links. But I think we can get started. So, with regard to the our recommended arrival date, as hopefully all of you know by now, the recommended arrival date is the 2nd of January, so Tuesday, the 2nd of January, 2024. And the orientation week will start on the same week, right after, from the 3rd of January to the 5th of January. We will upload the orientation program on our webpage, on our website, and that is the link that then you will get together with the slides. I think it's still a work in progress, but it will be updated definitely before the Christmas holidays, so you can check the orientation program in advance if you wish to do so. And the Orientation will be held on campus and streamed on Zoom for those who cannot attend it in person. And the lights in my room turned off. But, moving on, your tutor will contact you about 2 weeks before your arrival at the latest, so in mid-December. We have just formed the tutor groups, so your tutors now know who their tutees are. So you can expect them to contact you soon, and they will send you first an email message, sort of to introduce themselves and to give you some essential practical information. And then they will advise you with practical issues such as course registration, and later, once you have arrived, library use, life at the university, and also in UVascula. And they will be sort of your fellow student guiding you through your first days here, as well as they will welcome you upon your arrival. So if you inform your tutor well in advance of when you are arriving, at what time and where, so for example, the train station, your tutor will come and meet you there on your arrival. Tutors will also organize meetings for their tutor group, and they will sort of facilitate the group formation. So normally a tutor has about, I believe this spring it will be between 5 and 6 students per group. And so there will be group meetings and campus tours and library tours and such organized by your tutor. If you have questions related to the university or student life or practical matters on how to get to UVascula, once you have the contact of your tutor, you can turn to them and ask them these questions. But then if you have questions about the tutoring itself, if, for example, your tutor has not contacted you and your arrival date is approaching, you can email us at our international tutoring email address, which is there on the slide, and let us know that you haven't heard from your tutor, for example, and or if you have any questions related to the tutoring itself. As a note, your tutors are not responsible for telling you what courses you can take and what courses you cannot take. Your tutors also don't necessarily know how you should plan your studies. They're not responsible for that, and they don't have this information because they're also students themselves. So for any study-related matter, for example, learning agreements, but also course options for you, I would recommend you contact your faculty-level international coordinator, who is then the right person that is able to advise you about these matters. And through that link, you can find all the contact information of all the coordinators for each faculty and/or department. So if you have applied for accommodation in Mobility Online, so if you have specified that you wish to apply for accommodation as part of your application, by now you should have received at least a confirmation email telling you that your application was forwarded to either COAS or SOEHTU. You most likely have also already received your apartment offer directly from COAS or SOEHTU. Please make sure to check your spam folder in your email, because we've heard, especially from SOEHTU, that many of their offers ended up in the spam folder of students' emails. So make sure, if you haven't received yet, to check whether it accidentally ended there. If you have received an apartment offer, make sure to follow the instructions that are explained in the email in the apartment offer given by either COAS or SOEHTU to accept the offer within the given deadline. And this is important because if you don't accept by the given deadline, then the apartment would be freed again and offered to someone else. So make sure to accept the offer in time. If you have questions that are specifically about the apartments, the apartment offer itself, or how to accept it, or how to make the payments, you can contact the apartment offices directly. So that's the address of COAS and then the address of SOEHTU. And this is because here on the university side, while we have forwarded the application information of students, we actually don't know, we don't have information about the apartments themselves or the apartment offers. It's the housing offices of COAS and SOEHTU who are directly responsible of these. But if you have applied for accommodation and have not received any confirmation email or an apartment offer yet, please let us know by emailing us so that we can check what the situation is and if there are any issues. So, as I mentioned earlier already a bit, Coas and Soitu are indeed separate from the university. So, what the university does is that we reserve a quota of furnished rooms and some studio apartments for exchange students each year. But for the questions that are related to the apartments themselves and living in Coas and Soitu, make sure to contact the housing offices because they are the ones that are responsible for these matters. And also note the following dates as well. So the moving in date is the same as the arrival date. It's the 2nd of January because it's the first working day of the month. The 1st of January is a holiday, so it's not possible to move in just yet then. The tenancy period for most students, the tenancy period for furnished student housing is fixed. This means that it cannot be changed. And it's from January 1st to the end of May. So it's the same length as the spring semester. And as I mentioned, no early termination or apartment changes are allowed normally. And the tenancy agreement is legally binding as it's tenancy agreement, which is a legal document that you have signed and agreed on. It is not possible to change from one housing location to another. So this means that if you have been assigned housing in Coas, you cannot move to Soweto and vice versa. So during the tenancy period, once you have accepted the apartment offer, the term is fixed, no apartment changes are allowed, and it's not possible to move from one housing location to another. Below at the bottom of this slide, there's a link to our website that has an accommodation page. So you can find under the search for accommodation more information about this. At this point, I think if there are any questions about housing, we could take them now. I see the chat has some messages. If any of you wants to open their mic and ask the question, or if then Laura, Tina, Marita, you can tell me what the situation is.
Well, there was a question about tutoring, but it has also already been answered for. There's also a question about schedules, but perhaps there's something about that later on in your presentation. And the schedules regarding courses and exams. And then there's a question. Is it okay if I arrive later than the recommended arrival date?
I mean, it is okay in that, of course, we recommend to arrive in time for the orientation and everything. But if you cannot make it, the orientation will be also streamed on Zoom. So you can always attend the orientation remotely. And we strongly recommend that if you're not here in Finland to attend the orientation on Zoom, it will also be recorded and the slides will be shared. One note that I would have about arriving late. Now, I don't know how late you would be arriving, but the tutoring services are guaranteed only for the beginning of the semester. So if you arrive very late or much more later than the beginning of the semester, tutoring services may not be, we may not be able to guarantee tutoring services. And regarding course registration, the course registration starts already during orientation week. So if you're arriving late, you may miss some deadlines for the course registrations. But I would recommend in that case to contact your faculty level coordinator and let them know about this so that they're also aware about this matter.
And I might add to the schedules question that it is actually up to each individual student to draw their own schedules. That the schedules can be found in our course registration system, SISU, and you can then draw your schedule out of the schedules you can find there. There's also a question about arriving at 6 p.m. on the 2nd of January, do I need to book a hotel?
At 6 p.m. on the 2nd of January, that would be the first move-in date, and I would assume Now, it depends whether you're staying at Koas and Soihtu, but both have a key box system, which means that you can agree in advance with the housing office for the key pickup. So you will receive a PIN code that then you need for the key box, which is, well, the location of the key box is given by the housing office, and you
Cool.
can collect the key at any time. If you're staying at Soihtu, I would advise you to contact Soihtu well in advance about this because they have fewer key box locations. If you're staying at Koas, they automatically, I believe, send an email 2 weeks before the beginning of the rent of the tenancy agreement to let you know how to proceed for the key pickup. But either way, it should be perfectly fine, and you should not have to stay in a hotel, as in you should be able to collect the key.
There's a question whether it is possible to pick up the keys to the apartment before the 2nd of January.
That depends on the housing office. You can always ask. It is possible that, for example, the apartment that you're moving to is empty during Christmas time, in which case then the housing office might be able to give you the keys a few days in advance. But I would recommend you check with the housing office directly about this possibility because it depends.
There's a question about the electronic identification, but I suppose you will cover this later on in your
Yes.
presentation. So we
That's
will
the next
continue.
topic. So yeah, we can continue with that then.
And there's another question about the schedule. Someone didn't catch what was said. So are you going to speak about the course registration later on?
No, not really. We had not received any questions about it.
Okay, so the question was, could you type for me where I can find the schedule? I am sorry, I couldn't catch it. I can put the link to the Sisu course registration system into the chat. Unfortunately, you won't be able to register for the courses before your study right at the University of Jyväskylä begins. But you can already browse the schedules. You can see them even if you do not have the permission to register for the courses at this point.
And also, we can add it to the slides as well. And I would also ask if you could add the courses for exchange students. Website link because you can find the course codes that you can use to search for courses in Sisu there.
Then there's a question about from a student who will come to the orientation, but after the orientation will return to their home university to complete some exams. Is that going to be a problem for me, or can I just catch up on the classes by my own and attend after my exams? And the student will return on the 21st of January. I would say that you would need to contact your faculty level international coordinator to ask about this. If your courses are beginning early, and if the courses in question require attendance, there might be some extra work related. Some of the courses may not be then open for you if it's a very intensive course, for example, and attendance is required. But in any case, contact your faculty level coordinator. Do we have to stay in the apartment until May 31st? Can we leave the apartment before May 31st?
You can leave the apartment and you can return the key in advance, but the rent is always for the whole month. So no matter when you leave, you would have to pay until the end of the month.
I have not received any accommodation proposal, and it's not in my spam either. Should I care about it and contact Koas by email?
You can either contact us by email, but I would actually recommend you email us at the international office first so that we can check if there is an issue.
What is a good day to plan the return ticket, the re return plane ticket?
The last day on which courses or exams take place is the 26th of May. So, of course, it depends on what courses you're taking, but I would recommend after the 26th.
Is it possible to postpone the tenancy in order to stay in the accommodation for the duration of the summer courses?
So from, if I understand correctly, from May until like during the summer. Yes, it is. And it is possible to extend your tenancy until the end of July, which is the end of the academic year. So you could extend it for June and July.
Here, I would like to add that in order to remain a student here at the university for June or July, you would then need to apply for the summer school in human sciences or have some other arrangement. So normally, students are only admitted to study at our university until, was it the 26th of
Yes.
May this year?
Yeah.
Then there are questions about registering for courses in January. It is correct that you can register for your courses at the beginning of the semester in January. And when the classes will start.
It depends on the course, on the courses. But as a general answer, I am assuming it would start the week after orientation, or at least some classes already start then.
But of course, at our university, classes can start at various times.
Yeah.
So they don't all necessarily begin at the beginning of January. They can start all throughout the semester.
And during the orientation week, there will be faculty and department infos where you will be able to discuss these matters also with the faculty level coordinators, who will be able to give you also a more detailed answer about this.
I think those were the most pressing
Okay.
questions at this point.
So I think we can move to the identification and the Jira user account. You should have received an email with a link requesting you to identify yourselves on a platform called Signicat. After you receive this email, you should follow the link that is in the email. It's a personalized link, so you cannot share it, but it's just for your own identification, and complete the identification in Signicat. It is possible that the identification is not successful. There are some reasons, starting with you may have an ID which is not the size of a normal, let's say, like a plastic card. For example, if you have a paper ID, or if you have an ID where the shape of the ID is not that of a card, it may not be possible for you to identify yourself in Signicat. Or the identification may fail because of poor lighting, so you may want to try to be in a place with better lighting, turn some lights on, or it might be the quality of the camera. So there are some technical issues that may prevent you from being able to identify yourselves in Signicat. So if this happens and the identification in Signicat is not successful, you can schedule a manual remote identification and you can follow the instructions that are on the identification website. Some of you have contacted us informing us that they have not received the email at all. So you have not received any email regarding identification. In this case, we would ask you to contact the university's digital services directly, and you can do so via Help JYU. So that is the link to the digital services contact information where you can find the Help JYU link to contact them. And this is because in order to do a manual identification, you would still need the ID number and the link that is in the email. So if you have not received the email about identification, you should first report the issue to the digital services. And more generally, you can find more information about the identification on our website, and that is a link to our identification webpage. As I mentioned already, the university's digital services are the ones who can help you if you have problems with the identification and the JYU user account. But now, assuming you have successfully been able to identify yourself, we can look at what you should do after the identification. So the identification has worked. Then you should log into your account. That is the link through which you can access your personal information management page and do the following. You should accept the IT usage policy, change your password, fill in contact information if missing, like if there are some gaps in your personal information, add them, and select your default email as well as activate the Microsoft Office 365 services, and save all of these changes. Now, the most important things to do are to change your password and select your default email. Because if you do not change your password and if you do not select your default email, then you will not have access to your GYU Digital Services. So your user account will basically lock itself in a few days, usually about 2 to 3 days. So once you have identified yourself, go into OMA through that link. Take care of the following steps, but most importantly, remember to change password and select your email and save everything. As Laura already mentioned, you will be able to register to courses only when your study right is active, and this is because your GYU user account starts working only at the beginning of your study right, so at the beginning of January. Before then, you will not be able to log into Sisu, for example, or to access any other service that would require GYU credentials. So as we mentioned, course registration will take place during the orientation week. And this is why it's important to take care of the identification process and activate your user account before the orientation week so that you can register for courses right away. Please note that after you have activated your account, there may be some de delay before you can start using it. So let's say you activate your account on the 1st of January. It's possible that the credentials don't start working immediately, but you may have to wait until the 2nd of January. There is some delay because of the way that the system updates itself. And here's again the contacts of the digital services. So the easiest way to contact them is through Help JYU. And then during the orientation week, they will also be present. They will have their own info session, so you can ask them questions there as well. And then the last one is the link to their web page with their contact information as well. At this point, before moving on to the student union membership and the student card, if there are questions about identification, we could go through them, I think.
Yeah, there were quite a few questions about the identification process and about contacting the digital services. First of all, there's someone who wasn't able to identify themselves through the manual online video, sorry, through the SigniCat identification. And then they're writing, however, we can't pass the manual online video identification. You advised us as well because we need the password, which is my registration ID that we had to receive in the registration email.
Yes, this is actually something that I also learned today, that apparently before the manual identification was possible just with sending an email and scheduling the identification. Now, to register for the manual identification, you need the ID that is in the email about SigniCat that students receive. So if a student has not received any email about identification, they have to first contact the digital services. So at this point, to answer the question, I would say I would ask you to contact the digital services directly via Help JYU and explain to them that you cannot access the manual remote identification. And then I am assuming that they will then set it up for you.
There were also questions about the email address of the digital services, but like Elisa said, they can be contacted through Help JYU. You can also use this service without the U credentials, the University of Jyväskylä credentials. You can create your own credentials there, right, Elisa?
Yes. Yeah, you can log in as a, I don't remember the exact word, but I believe it's as a guest user. So you don't use the log in for JYU, but there's next to it another sort of button and you can just log in through there. Basically, you will create a guest account.
And then there's a question about the student union membership fee payment, but you will
Yes,
cover
we
that
will cover
in
that.
your presentation
I'm sorry,
next.
can I ask something also?
Yes.
Because it's like you said that I can create this guest account, but actually I am not able to do that because when I'm trying to, I have to put my email there. And when I do, it's saying me that it's already used, but I don't have an account. You mean in the identification or in the Help JYU portal? I mean both, because if I want to contact them about manual strong identification, I have to register first. I mean, to send a message, I have to like log in, but I can do that because it's asking for my name, last name, email, and code. But when I'm trying to put my email there, it's saying that I already have an account, but I don't have an account and I don't have any password for it because I wasn't registering for it yet. And I actually contacted the digital services about it. Like, I don't know, I'm doing it for a week now. I send like six emails, I think, and I can't get any help. I'm wondering if I can quickly open the web page because if you are referring to the manual identification registration form, yes, I believe that that one you cannot use unless you have received the Signicat email. But the Help JYU, you should be able to. Just a second. Just to confirm, so you have tried to create a Help JYU account intended for visitors, and it doesn't let you create one. Yes, exactly. I have to admit that at this point, I do not have an answer to this question. As normally, if you are not a student yet, you should be able to sign up as a guest, but I'm wondering why it's not letting you do that. Yeah, actually, it's really problematic because it's like it's saying that I already have an account and that I should like just type the password, but I don't know any password, so it's really irritating, you know, and I'm really
I would
sorry.
recommend that you email us about this and we can then look into this. I think we'll probably need to continue with the presentation.
Sorry, thank you.
Yeah, because I just tried to do it in Help JYU as a guest, and indeed, if you have a new email, it does let you do that. So I'm wondering if there's been some sort of double registration. But yes, you can, I would say, email us and then we can contact the digital services on your behalf as well. Okay. So I am assuming we can continue with the student card and student union membership fee. Okay. So some of you have asked us about joining the student union and paying the student union membership fee. So in order to get a student card, you are required to join the student union. Joining the student union is not mandatory for exchange students. It's voluntary. You can choose whether to join or not.
But more information, instructions on how to do so, and also information about the benefits can be found on the Student Union website directly. And you can make the payment of the membership fee either in advance, so already, or you can also do it later. Some of you asked if they can pay after arrival to UVascula, and that is also a possibility. And here is a main sort of example of the discounts and benefits of having a student card. You can get discounts on long distance trains as well as some buses, and then student priced meals at cafeterias. For student priced meals, there are also alternatives. So you do not have to join a student union, but of course, there are plenty of other benefits that come with having a student card. So you can read up more about them on the website. But about the payment, if you choose to join the student union and pay the membership fee, and you do so before the 12th of December, which is quite soon, you can upload the receipt to Mobility Online. So in your application, there's the documents section, and you can upload the receipt there. But if you join after the 12th of December, you can send the receipt of the student union membership fee payment directly to the student services via, again, Help JYU. And this is because we will check Mobility Online up to the 12th of December, but after that, we will not necessarily be able to check all of the receipts that have been added afterwards. So if you pay before the 12th, you can still put it onto Mobility Online. Some of you already have. But if you join after the 12th of December, you can send the receipt directly to the student services and they will update that information then to your study right. Once again, as with the JYU credentials, the student card, which you can download in the easiest way as an app, so it's a Frank app, the link of which you can find to the you can find on the website. Even if you join it well in advance, you will still be able to use your student card only when your study right is active. So again, from the beginning of January. So if you plan on, let's say, arriving to Finland in December already, you will not be able to use the student card for the train ticket discounts, for example, because it will only start working from the beginning of January. Are there any questions about the student union membership fee and the student card at this point?
There do not seem to be questions about this specifically. They are other questions.
Okay. Then I think we can move on to the registration of right of residence of EU citizens and residence permit matters and the DVV registrations. So if you are an EU citizen, you do not need to apply for a residence permit for Finland. But if your stay in Finland lasts longer than 3 continuous months, so 3 months where you don't leave Finland and you stay, within Finland, you have to fill out the registration of your right of residence as an EU citizen on the Migri website. So, as an example, if you travel outside of Finland during your exchange, it is likely that you will not need to do this because if, let's say, you arrive in January and in March you already travel and you leave Finland, let's say you go to Estonia, then you come back, the counting starts from zero again. So this is valid only if your stay in Finland lasts more than 3 continuous months without interruption. After you have filled out the registration on the Migri website, there is a fee that has to be paid, and you would have to then travel to a Migri service point to confirm your identity. And Jyväskylä, unfortunately, does not have a service point, but the closest ones are in, well, Tampere, Kuopio, and Helsinki. So you would have to visit a service point then to complete the process. If you're a citizen of a Nordic country, however, so Sweden, Norway, Denmark, or Iceland, and your stay in Finland lasts longer than 3 continuous months, you don't have to register your right to reside with Migri, as other EU students coming from EU countries have to, but you have to register it with the DVV, which is the Digital and Population Data Services Agency, which we will talk about in a second. But you don't have to complete the other registration at Migri. But for all other citizens of EU countries, and if your stay is longer than 3 continuous months, you should fill out the registration on the Migri website. Then, if in the case of non-EU citizens, and this of course was already in your in other instructions that you have received throughout the application period, you have to apply for a residence permit via Migri. I am hoping and assuming that most of you already have. If you're a citizen of a non-EU country but you study in a EU country, you should just fill out a mobility notification on the Migri website, which is a separate form from a residence permit form. And finally, if you're a student coming from Ukraine, you can also apply for temporary protection. And you can do so upon your arrival in Finland. And you can do it directly when you arrive at the airport, for example, in Vantaa, but you can also do it then at the police here in Jyväskylä. And that link on the slide leads you to Migri's webpage where there's instructions on how to take care of the application for temporary protection. Then moving on to the Digital and Population Data Services Agency, which I mentioned earlier, it's a different agency from Migri. And the information below applies to both EU and non-EU citizens regardless. And the registration at this agency is can be done here in Jyväskylä and is mainly to get your Finnish personal identity number and to register your address of residence in Finland. Now, if you are a non-EU student who already has a residence permit, on the back of your residence permit, there might be a Finnish personal identity number. In that case, you don't have to register again for it. But EU students and some non-EU students as well may need to still get their personal identity number if it wasn't processed in the if it wasn't applied for in the residence permit application. So the DVV registration is mainly to get your ID number and then to register your address, which you can also do at Posti, but it is also part of the DVV registration process. And this is a separate registration from the Migri one. They're not the same and they're two different agencies. So you have to take care of both separately. More information about this we will give at the beginning of the semester in January during the orientation week. We are organizing a pop-up visit for the DVV so that they can come on the campus here at JYU and you will be able to register. It will most likely take place in January and it will be a couple of days during which they will visit us and you will be able to register. I think at this point, if there are any questions about this topic, we can take them before moving on to the final questions.
There is a question about the registration about of an EU citizen, and there's someone who says that the fees were really expensive, close to 200 euros. That must be some kind of incorrect information. The fee seems to be 54 euros for EU citizens to register an EU citizen's right to reside in Finland.
The 200 sounds like a residence permit fee. So I think it's a
And
different form. Yeah.
then there's a question, should I pay it and then visit a service point in Finland once I arrive?
Yes, you can already try scheduling an appointment to a service point as well if you would like. I believe they have an online appointment registration system. I do not know what the current situation is, but of course, in the autumn, for example, it's quite busy, so it might take some time before you can schedule the appointment, but that is not an issue as it is sufficient to prove that you have started the registration process as well.
And of course, coming from the EU, like Elisa, you mentioned, you must register your right to reside in Finland if you continuously stay in Finland for 3 months at a time. There were some questions about the student union membership fee, but I think Tiina has already answered to some of them. And then there's a question, will we get the slides of this presentation with all the links after the meeting?
Yes, we will send them to you by email together with the recording of this meeting.
Okay, Tina or Marita, can you find any other questions that we haven't covered yet?
There's one about arriving at 30th of December and leaving at 31st of March. Do I have to apply for a residence permit? So it's 4 stays for 3 months. So that is quite close to 3 months, right? Or a little bit over 3 months. So you would have to register your right?
'Yeah, the limit is 90 days of
90 days.
continuous stay in Finland.
And then there's one about the link to check the card. I'm not quite sure what this refers to.
Maybe this link.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah.
So hopefully, Elena, that is what you meant.
And then there's a new question. I have a question about the student discounts on VR trains. Are you going to cover that, Elisa, later on?
I just mentioned that here in the slide with the student union membership fee and the student card, that the student card is what entitles you to discounts on long distance trains. But there is no other way of getting a discount anymore on VR trains. There used to be a separate form for the discounts for those who did not want to take a student card, but nowadays it's only with the student card from the student union.
Yeah. The specific question was about if students are able to use their student cards already when they arrive in Jyväskylä for the first time by train.
Okay, it depends on when you would be arriving, because as you can see on the slide, even if you join the student union, the student card only works during your study right. So your study right starts on the 1st of January. If by then you have paid the membership fee and it has been processed, so well in advance, and you have downloaded the app, it should start working on the 1st of January. But I would recommend then to take care of the payment of the student union membership fee quite soon, because of course during the Christmas holidays there will be no one to update the information into our study register SISU. So if you pay the student union membership fee, for example, during Christmas time, it is possible that it will not be updated in the system before the 1st of January.
Elisa, is there still a delay before the information from the University of Jyväskylä Student Register goes into the student card system? Because that was a challenge, at least in the past, that there was a small delay after the study right at U had begun before the digital student card started working.
I believe there may still be a delay, but at least this autumn it was, for example, 1 day, so it wasn't a very long delay. But definitely, I would advise that if you plan on using the student discount on the 1st of January, for example, to pay the student union membership fee by essentially next week, because it is not possible for anyone to check them during Christmas time and update that information. So I think the sooner the better if you intend on using the student discount then, and you're sure about wanting to join the student union, of course.
There's a question from a non-EU citizen who has received a residence permit and is asking what else I need to do. Is it just registering at the DVV?
Yes, at this point, it's just registering at the DVV. Of course, you can check already in your residence permit card. if you already have a Finnish personal identity code. If you have one, you can also just register your address at Posti because it is faster, so at the post office. In which case you would be all set basically, and you wouldn't have to do anything. But if you don't have your Finnish identity code on the back of the card, then you would have to register at DVV.
I think we can continue.
Okay. So let's get back to the slides. So finally, these are just a couple of slides about questions that we had received in our international office email from you. So someone asked about getting around Jyväskylä. So the easiest way to get around Jyväskylä is most likely by bike. Of course, in the winter, it can be challenging because it's cold, there's ice, there's snow, but Jyväskylä is quite small and it's quite easy to walk around and or cycle around. So you can buy a used bike. It's probably the cheapest way to go about it. And here are some links to some bike shops. For example, Polkupyörätori also offers a rental system where you can rent the bike for the semester and then return it after the end of your exchange, and the same for the other two, actually, Uusiotuvoite and student bikes. There are also secondhand markets online. There's Tori.fi, and then there's some secondhand item Facebook groups in Jyväskylä as well. KOAS also offers to its tenants rent-a-bike system. This is only for those who live in KOAS, and you can find more information there. It's linked to the KOAS webpage. And then someone asked specifically about the buses. So there are the regional buses are Linkki, so they're the Jyväskylä region buses, and that is the link to their general website. And they do offer student-priced tickets. Now the question that we received was if there is some sort of system by which if you pay the student union membership fee, it includes the bus pass. Well, it does not. You would have to purchase a separate bus pass, but it would be with a student discount. And you can get a bus card or pass directly at the Linkki office. And the office of the Linkki Bus Services is in the center here in Jyväskylä. So it's quite easy to get to. And you can ask your tutor to take you there and ask your tutor on how to get the card if you wish to get one. Here's also a couple of links to the campus map where you can find the location of the student restaurants as well, and of all the different buildings in the campus. And then a map of the city of Jyväskylä where you can find also some information about, let's say, the cycling paths in Jyväskylä or outdoor sports facilities and such. As I mentioned, already, there is ice, there is snow right now in Finland. So, as a kind of obvious statement, or not so obvious, it is cold right now and it will be cold in January as well when you arrive. So, take that into account when packing and thinking about what to bring with you. Right now, there is plenty of snow and hopefully it will stay this way. And there are temperatures that go well below zero. So, be prepared for some very wintry weather. And then finally, someone asked about language courses, specifically Finnish courses, but here is also information about other languages that are offered by our Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, MOVI in short. And it offers courses in several languages, I believe at this point about 16 languages. And it includes, of course, Finnish as a second language courses, which you can take. For example, the Survival Finnish course is a very good beginner Finnish as a second language course for exchange students. And you can find a list of all the Finnish courses offered at MOVI at the link in the slide. And then there's also a link to the MOVI website more in general if you feel like studying other languages besides just Finnish. But this was all we had as far as our presentation is concerned. Here in the last slide, we have our contact information. So there's our international office email, as well as the international tutoring email, and then the contact info of the faculty level coordinators. And as a note, as I already mentioned, most of our staff will be on holiday during the Christmas holidays, so from the 25th onward. And the office is completely closed, of course, on the 25th and on the 26th, as well as the 1st of January, which is also a holiday. But this was all as far as the slides were concerned. So I thank you for your attention. And as someone already asked, we will be sending these to you by email. But at this point, I think we have plenty of time for questions, or either via the chat, or if someone wants to open their mic and ask the question, that is also an option at this point.
Hello, I have a question about accommodation. Okay, so I made the payment through TransferMate, and then that was on third. Then on 6th, they sent me a confirmation, which is TransferMate, that my payment has been confirmed and it has been sent to QAS. But yet, QAS has not received my payment because I haven't received the lease agreement. So I just wanted to ask, when will I receive the lease agreement to be confirmed that my payment was successful?
I would contact COAS directly about this and check with them about the schedule, as they know specifically when they are sending out these messages. So I would recommend you contact COAS.
Okay, thank you.
There's a question. Sorry to ask again, but what should the ones who didn't receive the email do? I suppose this refers to the identification email about the Signicat identification. We can't write to digital services without an account. Should we write to the international office after the meeting?
You should be able to write to the digital services with an account without an account. I can actually share the screen so you can I can show you where to go. Okay, I'm hoping that you can see the web page. So here it does offer these two options, which are not possible for you because you do not have yet JYU credentials nor help JYU credentials. But here below, where it says I don't have a JYU account or help JYU account, you can create one by opening this sign up form. And once you add all of the necessary information, you sign up and it sends you a confirmation email that gives you the credentials on how to access it.
We did it, and after we did it, it said that it's not possible, that our valid email address or something like that is not existent. So what should we do next? Like it needs time to process or something like that.
Okay, in this case, I would say write to the international office, and then we will contact the digital services about this because it's starting to seem that there's several students who have this issue. So I'm wondering if there is some sort of bigger technical bug in this case. So you can write to the international office.
There's another question about accommodation. Sorry, I just lost the chat for a moment. I have accepted my offer and paid the first rent in advance. Will I receive more information from Soihtu?
You will receive information about collecting the key at this point, I am assuming. But if you have any doubt about whether everything is in order and that the payment went through, I would say to ask Soihtu directly.
Then there's been a mention about a WhatsApp group, and it hasn't been created by us, but now it seems like someone has shared the link to the group. Some of the students have created it by themselves.
Yes, and we are not in the WhatsApp group, just as a disclaimer.
There's a question about the sports offer at the university. And the student has found some activities on a website which I don't recognize. Myself, can you register in advance for a course, for example, volleyball? And if it doesn't add up with the lectures you will have to you have, can you cancel the registration?
So if we're talking about not a course that is like in SISU, but if you're talking about an actual sports class, the university has its own sports offer, which can be found can which is offered by UMove, and they have a website. I'm not sure if that's the website that is linked there, but if
The website seems to be
Okay, that
oma.enkora.fi.
is the register. Yes, that's the website through which you register for courses in the sport, like under the sports. So it's not an academic course, but it's like, let's say you want to take like a body combat class offered in the sports calendar, you can register, and yes, you can cancel if it doesn't work for you. You have to have a JYU account, and you have to have paid the sports sticker in order to register, though. So now you cannot register yet, but we will have a session about UMove and the sports sticker during our orientation week, and there you will also receive the instructions on how to join and then how to register. But yes, you can always cancel your registration for a sports class, but you have to do it, I think, 2 hours before the class starts. But yes, that is the registration website that you linked.
There's a question. What is the name of the application for the student card?
Sorry, what is the name for the?
What is the name of the application for the student card? And I believe this is the Frank app.
Yes, Frank app. Yes.
So the name Frank and app.
And if you go through the Student Union's website, there is a link to the Frank app website where you can then download the app. And it's free of charge.
Is our physical presence required for the registration or can we do it online? And this question has been asked. I believe that there are some questions about the EU registration. So I'm not quite sure if that perhaps refers to the EU or DVV registrations.
If it refers to those, for the DVV registration, yes, you have to be present. They have to identify you. For the right of residence, you can start it online, but you have to visit a service point in person. So in both cases, you have to officially identify yourself, either at Migri or DVV.
But the course registration can be done online.
Yes.
But of course, you will have to identify yourself beforehand through Signicat or other ways. When will we receive the timetable for the orientation, and is it all in person?
The orientation is on campus, so yes, it is in person. It will be on Zoom for those who are not physically in Finland yet. The timetable will most likely be updated in these coming days. I am now looking towards Marita as she's the one updating it, but the schedule is already set, so it's just a matter of uploading it to the website, and the link to the website where you can find the program is in these slides.
I will hopefully update it at the beginning of next week.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think we have one more question that hasn't been answered, or sort of has, but not this particular one. So for EU citizens, we have two things to pay. One, the permit of residence and the university fee. And we can possibly pay the student union membership fee. So probably Hugo, you are referring by the university fee to the student union membership fee because we don't have university fees for incoming exchange students. So the 50 euros means the student union membership fee, which is optional for exchange students.
There's a question about the Signicat emails. Will you look up for the reasons why we haven't received the emails about Signicat, or should we try to contact them?
At this point, given the fact that several students have the same problem, I would say email the international office and then we will contact digital services about it.
But of course, check your spam filter
Yes,
first to
of
see
course.
if the message is there.
Yeah.
I will be arriving a week later, so would I be able to do the DBV registration in person?
Yes, we will probably schedule the registration, I mentioned in January, but from the second half of January onward, so that everyone has time to arrive. I am assuming that there are no other questions since both Laurentina have turned their mics off.
There's one more. I
Okay.
requested to join the Facebook group, but it has not been accepted. I wonder when can I get exception?
We and once again I'm looking at Marita. I think if Marita, you can next week accept the requests that have now arrived.
Yes, I'll do that. I periodically look at the Facebook requests. So, yes.
Great, thank you.
If your Facebook name is not your own name, I would recommend emailing us and letting us know that whatever name you use is actually you, because otherwise we won't know. Is there a link for the Facebook group?
You can find the link in your confirmation of acceptance message, so when you were accepted. Together with your letter of admission, there's an email, and there should be the link. We can also add it to these slides, though, if it makes things easier. I can add it to this slide, and you can join from there.
I
There's.
also sent the link into the chat.
Okay,
So those who
perfect.
haven't joined, send the join request and I'll look at the requests maybe today, probably on Monday.
And then there's a question. Sorry, I didn't understand. So we have to pay to reside in Finland if we stay more than 3 months.
If you stay for more than 3 continuous months. So, if you stay for more than 3 months without ever leaving Finland. But if you, let's say you stay 2 months, then you go to Norway, then you come back, the counting starts again. So, if you stay for more than 3 uninterrupted months, you have to pay the registration for the right to reside of a EU citizen.
Yeah, and this is something that concerns EU
Yes.
citizens specifically.
Yeah.
I have paid the student card online, but I haven't received a payment confirmation. Is it normal?
If you have paid online, I'm assuming you have paid either via bank transfer or via TransferMate, possibly. Via TransferMate, you should have received a confirmation email, I believe. But then, if you have paid via bank transfer, you just have the receipt of the payment. If you have uploaded it to Mobility Online, we will check it and you will not receive a separate confirmation, but your student card will start working then when the study right begins. So, there is no separate confirmation message you should receive.
Exactly. And the student union doesn't inform you that they have received the payment. So you will need to provide the receipt showing that you have made the
Yeah.
payment. If let's say we will leave after 2 months to another state, Do we still need to fill in the registration about the residence? And I assume this refers to the registering of the EU citizens' right to reside in Finland.
If you leave and you come back, then it depends on how long you stay in Finland after you've come back. So the counting starts from zero again. It's only if you stay for the 3 months. So let's say you leave after 2 months, you come back, and then you stay for more than 3 months, then yes, you would have to register because you're staying for more than 3 months after you've come back. But if you stay 2 months, you leave, you come back, you stay 2 months, then you don't. I'm hoping that I'm making sense with this.
There's a question related to the student cards. I have paid the student card as well and didn't get any email about that. How can I register to the Frank app? It says I need a Finnish personal ID number, but I don't have one.
The Frank app should offer, as an alternative to the Finnish ID number, your student ID number. You will be able to see it from Sisu once your study right is active. So from the 1st of January, you can log into Sisu and there's your student ID there and you can use that to log in. You don't need a Finnish ID to log in. I don't remember how the app looks exactly, but you should be able to change that option there.
I paid for my student card and I uploaded my banking statements into Mobility Online. Where can I receive my student card? Is that during the introduction week?
You can download the app directly on your phone, but it will start working and you will be able to log into the app only from the 1st of January when your study right is active. And as I mentioned, you will need your student ID, which is in Sisu. So when you can log into Sisu, you can check it from there. And if you have already made the payment, we will already add it to the information at this point. But it will start working on the 1st of January.
If I go home before March break and come back after a week, I don't have to pay to reside in Finland, question mark, even if my apartment remains rented throughout my mobility for 5 months, question mark.
Based on the counting of the months that I just did, I believe you wouldn't. Because if you leave in March, that's January, February, you leave during March. So we go back to zero, you come back, it's whatever is left of March, April, May, and you're leaving in May. So that's again most likely less than 3 months. So you wouldn't have to. Are there any other questions at this point? I don't see anyone opening their mic. I'm assuming the chat doesn't have new questions. If not, I think that was it on our behalf today. And I thank you all for your participation. And as I mentioned earlier, we will send you these slides and the recording of this session via email, most likely next week. And you will have access then to all of the links and all of the information covered here. So thank you. Yeah.
Before you don't close the Zoom, I think we should stay around here for like 15 more minutes in
Thank you.
case there's like people coming and going all the time. So just in case someone pops in and has a question, or if somebody think
Okay.
of something, if that's okay with you, we could like stay here for like 15 minutes
Yeah.
more.
We can stop the recording. And if you don't have any more questions and you don't wish to wait around for